There we go. So thank you for having me. Thank you, John, for the invitation. I would like to start tonight by reading from John chapter 10. If you've got a Bible and you want to find that, I'll give you a moment and start to read at verse 1 there. So, very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all of them out, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. So I really want to concentrate tonight on the theme of hearing God. As disciples of Christ, we should be able to do this. Later in this passage of Scripture, Jesus goes on to say, I am the shepherd. And so if he is the shepherd and we are his disciples, then we are his sheep. And the Scripture tells us that as his sheep, we can hear his voice. But in today's world, I think we need to tune in to that voice. And in order to tune into that voice, we need to sometimes tune out other noise. We need to work on doing this personally by spending time with the Father. Getting down to how we hear his voice for us. And that's going to be different for everyone in this room. How do we get rid of that other noise? Now, when I say, let's hear from God, let's tune into God, I want to be clear, I am not necessarily talking about an audible voice. When I was a younger man, I had a t-shirt that had a little passage written over the breastplate, said, I do what the voices tell me. And an older gentleman in the church I went to at the time said, can we scratch the S off? Unfortunately, I had no technology to take lettering out of t-shirts, but he had a point. If we go around telling people we're hearing voices, people are going to think we're crazy. So we're not necessarily talking about that audible voice, but we are talking about God speaking to us. There's many ways he can speak to us. You might have a way that you know he speaks to you. Could be through his written word. It could be through seeing pictures in your mind's eye as you're praying. Could be having that sense that God is directing you to go a certain way in life or to do a certain thing, follow a certain call. It could be through dreams and visions, as the prophet Joel speaks about. But I'd really like to talk around this theme of hearing God, of trying to tune into what he's saying to us. And I want to try and unpack that into three different areas of life. Three areas which I believe we are called to live into. And they are our personal relationship with God, our relationship with one another as fellow disciples, and then our relationship with the world. Why do I identify these three areas? Well, because that's how I see Jesus having lived his life. Luke chapter 6 is a perfect example of this pattern and these three areas that Jesus is following. Verse 12, Jesus spent time with the Father. Verse 13, Jesus chose his apostles. And verses 17 to 19, Jesus spent time with others, teaching and healing. So there you've got time with the Father, the personal relationship. You've got time with the fellow believers, and then you've got time with those who are at that moment outside of the kingdom. So let's see how we can live then into those three strands. How can we tune in to what God is saying for us here and now? Well, first up, we've got how do you listen to God yourself? The simple thing is, as we've just said, is that tuning in, fine-tuning your ear to pick it up. For musicians, they've got the ear to pick up a note. I haven't. I'm as tone deaf as they come. So when I was doing music studies at school and I had to sing back what the teacher played to me, I was so off the chart to the point where he actually had to play 3 octaves lower than he did for anyone else just so I had a chance of passing. For those who are musically noted, you'll kind of get where I'm going. If you're not, apologize. I'll think of a different analogy later. But in order to be hearing God, there are a few things that we need to try and put into place in our life. We've got to accept that we are covenant children. You've been going through the Old Testament this year, and so you've probably touched on covenant a little bit already. And if you know covenant, it's about putting everything that you have out there on the table. That's what God calls us to do, to put everything we have out there. Because as part of the covenant, he also says to us, here is everything I have, and I'm giving you access to it. And the nearest thing we've got to anything like that in our world today is marriage. And if you think of marriage, of a service where husband and wife promise everything they have to each other, and they enter into that covenant relationship, you think, if you're willing to give everything to your spouse, well, God is saying, I too want everything, and more so than you're willing to give to your spouse. Got to step into that covenant child relationship. And we need to identify ourselves as being his children in that. We've got to be secure in our identity in Christ. We've got to know who we are and whose we are. We belong to God. And then we've got to think it's about building of a relationship. How many people want to hear from God on a daily basis? I know I strive to. I know I really want to, but some days other things get in the way. And I feel so lost at the end of the day when that's been the case. We've got to strive for that personal relationship. Think about it. How many people here live with someone else in the house? If you got home and you sat down for a meal and you all ate in silence and nobody spoke a word, how good if that kept happening day after day after day? How good would the relationships in that household be? If you're not willing to engage in conversation, you can't develop relationship. And it's the same with God. If we're not willing to engage in relationship and conversation, then we're not going to hear back the things he is trying to direct us in. Because God speaks to everybody. It's not just to special people. Everyone who believes in him, everyone who believes that Jesus Christ is their Savior and their Lord, are a disciple of Christ. And as the scripture tells us, that means we're his sheep, and that means we can hear his voice. But we've got that choice to make. Do we tune in, or do we choose to tune in to the noises of the world? Can we hear God over and above those voices, if you will, of the world, those voices of others who maybe don't believe in the scriptures, that tell us and hold over us shame or fear, as we sang about, or unbelief or rationalism? Can we really rationalize the gospel message? No. Does it really make sense in the way of the world? No. But does that stop us from believing it? No. So some key questions on that for you all. How do you hear God? Have a think about it. How do you hear God? Sometimes you don't know you've heard God until maybe a week, a month, a year later. But when you look back, you can say, that was God. And the chances are, if he's spoken to you in a specific way once, that's the way he's going to speak to you again. That's the way he's going to try and reveal his will to you. And then how can you go through the motions, if you will, on making sure that what you're hearing, where you feel you're being directed, is not just a feeling that you have, not just something pent up in your emotions, the thoughts of your own mind. So as disciples, we have got to get better at stopping. We've got to get better at slowing things down, not rushing around with the pace of the world. And we've got to start a conversation with God. Starting that conversation. I mean, I was blessed today to have the opportunity to do that. Pastor John drove me up to St. Bernard's. Is it Bernard's? Barnard's? You say Bernard's. Okay. St. Bernard's. Like the dog. And it gave me the chance to practice what I'm preaching. It gave me the chance to slow down, to stop, to speak a little, but to wait on the Lord and just receive from him. And it was a real beautiful experience. So thank you for taking me, John. And in a nutshell, isn't that what prayer is? Conversation, a two-way process. And of all the ways that God can speak to us, to give us that revelation, however that is for you. There was one thing that somebody once said to me. They said, I want to make sure I get it right, so I wrote it down. God often speaks to us in the whispers because he wants us to draw closer. My kids are anything but quiet, and I wish sometimes they were quiet. I must use the phrase inside voice at least 15 times a day, at least. But if they were to be quiet, I wouldn't hear them. Unless I concentrated and drew closer to them to hear them. And I feel God sometimes in that still, small voice of calm is saying, come closer to me. Hear me. Spend time dwelling on my voice. So often drawing closer to God, we get to really hear what he's saying. We get to experience more of who he is. But think about some of the characteristics of God's voice. Not only that calmness and that whisper, but other characteristics. You know, I'm drawing on, I'm not going to reference all the places he's come from, but I'm drawing on the fact that his voice is spontaneous. That his voice has a special quality to it. That it's a valuable thing for us to hold. That it's full of truth and it's consistent with his written word. It's consistent with scripture. God is never going to say anything to you in a word, in a picture, in a dream that goes against what his written word already says. So that's a really good way to test what we think God is revealing to us, is to go to the word, to compare it and make sure it's got basis. And one thing his word always does, whether it's the written word or it's a revelation that we've received, is it always speaks life. There is no time when God says anything that is going to speak against life in him. So what might God be sharing with you right now? And how might he be saying it? Based on there's many ways he can say it. And I might not have mentioned the way that you can hear, the way you can see what he's about. But a good exercise is just to spend that time in silence and to ask for revelation. If we do not ask, we will not receive. That's what James chapter 4, verses 2 to 3 say. You do not have because you do not ask. You do not receive because you ask wrongly. In other words, your motivation for asking isn't quite right. Your heart isn't in the right place. And when we do that, you might receive a picture in your mind's eye. You might be referred to a place in Scripture that you can go and look at and digest. Or he might do something else. He might do something I've not mentioned. He might do something for you that I've never experienced. And why is that? Because you have a personal relationship with him and he knows how you're wired. So he knows what you need to receive from him. So knowing God's voice, hearing from the Lord in whichever way that it is that you're wired to do that, is an incredibly beautiful thing. But you don't just get to do it for yourself. You get to do it for other people here in this room, other people who are believers in the gospel message, part of that worldwide church community. See, another word that we could use there to express this is prophecy. And that might be a scary word for you, but what do I mean? What do you really mean by prophecy? Well, prophecy is taking the revelation of God and speaking it to other people. It's about communicating the heart, the mind, and the purpose of our Father in heaven. It speaks to the past, it speaks to the future, and it speaks to the here and the now, to the people we know, to the places he's placed us. And it's about encouragement. Have you ever thought about the word encouragement? You could break it up. It's placing courage in others. And who doesn't want to have courage placed in them? Importantly, most importantly of all, really, it's something we should all be wanting to engage in. Because Scripture tells us to engage in it. Paul, in his first letter to the church in Corinth, chapter 14, verse 1, says, pursue love and strive for the spiritual gifts, and especially that you may prophesy. So we should be striving for it. We should be wanting to do it. And prophecy really has three components to it. It's about the revelation, which I've touched on a little bit. It's about interpretation, and it's about application. And what do I mean by this? If I put it in a phrase, it's better to have an uninterpreted revelation than a misinterpreted revelation. I remember some years ago when I was working for a church in England, I gathered with the worship team before the service, and we were praying, and I had a picture. As we were praying, picture was of, I've got to try and get American language right here, a car dashboard. Do you call it a dashboard? Yeah. And the gas gauge was on the reserve. Yeah. So there was maybe 50 miles left in the tank. And I thought to myself, wow, that's a very negative picture. Thanks God. What am I going to do with this? But I knew it needed to be shared. So I shared it without any interpretation because I had none. And I just told them. I said, you can see the gas gauge of a car and it's reserve. It's on the red line. And as we finished that prayer time and we were walking to the service, one of the worship leaders came up to me and said, thank you. I was like, did you hear the same picture that I shared? Did you get that? thank you for that. And he was like, I thought I was running on empty. But it's good to know that God thinks I've got a little bit left in the tank. Yeah, I didn't add anything to what I'd got. I just shared what I had. I shared what God gave. And it was a picture that he felt was for him. It was a word that he needed to hear. And he took it. And he was blessed by it. See, it's incredibly important that we only give what the Spirit gives us to give. Because if we try to add our own interpretation, if I'd have gone all negative, he wouldn't have heard what God needed him to hear. He wouldn't have been blessed by a word that was for him because I mutated it. Sometimes when an interpretation is needed, it's someone else's job, not the person who has had the revelation. You think about the gifts of the Spirit. Interpretation is one of those gifts. So let's stick to what we're given. And as for application, once we've shared something, the application is up to the person who we've shared it with. It's no longer our responsibility if we share something. The responsibility is passed on. So if you feel God directing you to ever share something with someone, a word of encouragement, a word of wisdom, once you've shared it, you've got to let it go. The responsibility is passed from your hands to someone else. The same with if you've got a word of a direction you feel the church should be going, you share it with leadership. You've done your job. As they pray through it, as they discern what the interpretation of that word may be, they might come up to an answer that is different to what you thought it would be. But you have to trust them because the word was for them. You've got to let the responsibility go. So listening to God for other people, it's not about kind of asking on their behalf. It's not a case of, oh, who should they marry? Give me a name. Or where should they move their house to? Or any chance you can give me, I don't know, 5 numbers and a Powerball, God. You know, they really could do with some extra money. It's not about that. It's not a guessing game. It's not magic tricks. I mean, we could have a little exercise now. You could ask the person, think of a color. Okay? And if you ask the person next to you to guess the color that you said after they asked God, tell me the color, how many people would get it right? The same probably as the number of people who didn't ask God, what was the color, God? I'm just going to guess one anyway. Because God isn't a magician. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. Because it's based on relationship, not on magic. And that's the case for whether we follow, whether we're talking and we're going through this kind of process, fellow believers, or whether we're going through this process with someone who isn't yet in relationship with Christ. Got that same principle to follow through. See, when we come to taking prophecy out of the church, it can be incredibly eye-opening. I've seen people brought to faith when they've received a word from someone who they had never met before, but it was something they needed to hear at that moment in time. And God was working through the person speaking. Same thing might happen Easter Sunday when you invite someone to come and they decide to turn up. And when John's preaching and he's interpreting the written word of revelation, same process, they might hear something of God and be turned by it. One of my daughter's godfathers had that very experience. He was supposed to go out bike riding one Sunday morning, and instead he said to his wife, I guess I'll come to church with you today. Which she was like, what? You've never wanted to come before? And so we went, and the pastor was preaching on the return of the prodigal son. And he was sat there going, and he was changed instantly from that day. It's amazing. Not adding anything, just interpreting when we've given interpretation and letting the word speak as the word does when you've not got an interpretation. So taking it out, inviting others in who don't know Christ and speaking to them in that way can have amazing implications for the kingdom. But if we are going to take prophecy out, we do need to look to join in with what the Father is doing and not what we want to be doing. John 5 verse 19 says that Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise." If we don't look in this way, just think at what we're missing out on. Think of the clues that we might not get in the direction that we can follow and the people we might meet. So we need to get into the discipline of seeing with the Father's eyes and of hearing with his ears when we're out there in the world. Anybody heard of John Wimber before? Founder of the Vineyard Church. And he once said, when talking about spiritual gifts, everybody gets to play. We all get to play. We all get to play at hearing God's voice, getting involved with it, and we all get to bring other people in to play too. God wants us to be involved in his work. He doesn't need us to be. He's big enough and great enough to do it by himself. He doesn't need us to be there, to be doing things, but he wants us to be there. It's part of the covenant balance. But there's a couple of principles there in taking things out. We need to make sure we look at the people who we go to and we see them as the Father sees them. We can't have prejudice. We can't have dislike. We've got to look upon them with loving and gracious eyes. We've got to look at those that we've been sent to as though we've been sent to them. And we've got to think, how does the words and the actions that we're bringing reflect God's heart? Because that's the thing that we're trying to get across. What is God's heart for them? I'll give you a little piece of advice. It's probably not best to start with, "Thus says the Lord." It's probably not a good idea in today's language to go down the street, "Thus says the Lord," and then give them a nice message, because that's probably going to cut them off straight away. Find out what they like. Find out who they are. Because really, it's about a partnership between you and the Holy Spirit. You've got to work together. If you try to do it by yourself and in your own strength, it's going to get you nowhere. And if you rely on him to do it all, when he wants you to do something with him, then he's going to find someone else to do it. And you're going to miss out on a beautiful, beautiful thing. I'm reminded of a story of U2 singer Bono. And he would pray day after day, "God, will you please bless my upcoming tour? Please, God, can you bless the new album release? Can you bless my time in the rehearsal studio? Come on, Lord, I want this song to be a blessing to others. Please just bless it so that it can do what we want it to do." Till someone said to him, "Why don't you stop praying for God to bless stuff and instead get involved in what he's already doing? Because then it's already blessed." It's already blessed. What God is doing is already blessed. So when Jesus says, I only do what I see the Father doing, that's because he knows what the Father's doing is blessed. So why try to do something else and then ask for his blessing on it later? We've got to work with God. And we've got to, as we take it out, prophecy to other people, we've got to be willing to follow the words of Jesus in Luke 10. When he says, he sends his disciples out, and he says to them, whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if anyone is, if anyone's there who shares the peace, your peace will rest on them. But if not, it will return to you. So be looking for those people who are peaceful, who are open to the message that you carry. They're not hostile. They're not closed. They might not agree with you, but they're open to talking with you. Not arguing with you, but talking with you. They're willing to engage in that conversation, and they're willing to listen when you say the name Jesus. The barriers don't shoot up instantly. The wall isn't built that you've got to knock it down. Jesus says, look for the peace and stay with it. And if the peace isn't there, he says, wipe the dust from your feet and leave that town. So can you think of anybody you know who that describes? Someone you know who you can have conversation with, who isn't closed to hearing the word Jesus. They're the people who you give an invitation to come on Easter morning. You don't give the person who you've sat next to at work for the last 5 years, who every time you've mentioned the word Jesus has said, oh, coffee break. You don't invite them to church because they're not ready to come. That's just going to make you feel bad, like, oh, God, I can never, no one ever comes. I'm not good at inviting people. You're as good as anybody else if you get involved with what God is already doing. So hearing from God, it's a multifaceted thing. You've got to make sure that we're in relationship with him, that it's built on a solid ground. And as I was sat in here earlier today, I looked up there, and it reminded me of John 15. We are branches connected to the vine, and we have to remain in the vine. We are no good if we are not remaining in the vine and bearing fruit. And occasionally, that means we get to have a painful experience as we are pruned, as we are cut back. Just before I moved to America, I was feeling okay. Until one day I was sat in prayers, and the associate pastor came to me and he said, you're being pruned right now. I was like, no, I'm not. I'm fine. He said, can you honestly say you're not hurting? Can you honestly say you want to leave England? And I said, no. And from that moment, I was in bits. I was in bits as God was shaping me and cutting me back and preparing me for a time to come to America, for a time to take over where I am now, Pastor, for a time to accept the invitation from John to come here and speak to you all on listening to him and responding to what he's got to say for us here and now, today. We've got to be willing to invest in relationship. We've got to be deepening that relationship, developing what we have with him. And it's from that place that we're able to then share what he's saying to others, to our friends, to our brothers and sisters in Christ, be they worshiping here with you or in a different church or in a church across the other side of the world. And then it's about being able to take his word to your colleagues who don't know him, to your family members who have said to this point in time, not bothered, not today. But we've got to remember it's about partnership. It's about working with the Spirit, not against the Spirit. It's about accepting our responsibility and not trying to let him do everything by himself. And it's about only sharing what we are given to share. only what we have received from him and no more. God knows what he needs to give. God knows what someone needs to hear. Who are we to think we can add more because God maybe left a bit out? Just share what you've got. Nothing more, nothing less. And receive from him. I'd like to pray for you all. Father, we thank you that we are called to relationship with you. We thank you for so much imagery through Scripture of how that relationship is built and sustained, particularly for John 15 and the vine and the branches, and how we are so intertwined, and how sometimes we go through a little difficult time, but as we come out bearing fruit. Help us to be true fruit bearers, taking on your word, letting it transform us, but at the same time asking for that revelation from you, revelation for ourselves and our own personal walk, revelation for us corporately as church, and revelation for our friends whom we pray and earnestly seek for them to enter into your kingdom. You know the thoughts of everyone here, Lord. You know the people who are on our hearts. And so we pray for those who don't know you. And we ask that if we are not the person to bring you to them, if we are not the person to knock down that wall, that you allow us to step back and for that other person to come in, to speak your word to them. Because we have nothing except your word. Nothing we can say can overpower it. Nothing we can say is better than what you've got to say. So help us tune in. Help us get that frequency set so we hear you loud and clear. We see what you're doing. And we've got the faith and we've got the courage to step in and to get busy. In Jesus' name, amen.